Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Coming to you from Cardinals spring training, and I am here to tell you, I'm sure you heard about it when this place first opened and people first got their eyes on it, the Cardinals have some luxurious accommodations down here. My goodness, this is a complete 180. But it's not like they played in a dump before, but I'm here to tell you, this is some facility here. I just went into the Cardinals clubhouse. That is as good as you will find in the major leagues. They have everything they could possibly want in there. I haven't even made it through the performance center yet. Yes, they have a performance center like you would head to your local gym, but enhanced times 100. It looks fantastic. Can't wait to walk through there and see what that's all about. As the Cardinals have an area where the major leaguers go in, where the minor leaguers go in, they have a whole new facility here for their food and beverage service. They have offices for just about everybody that could possibly need one, from the front office down to the staff. Just met with manager Ollie Marmol moments ago and got a little bit of news from him just to see what's going on. He met with the press. The writers are just down the hall from us, KMOX. We have our own studio here, which is located just inside the entrance of the spring training facility. So it's a nice setup. The Cardinals, just kind of like a signal that things are about to change within this organization. And this was not built by Chaim Bloom. This was actually designed under the John Mozeliak regime. He told us a while back, I think on this show, didn't he? When he said, hey, we're going to have a KMOX studio for you as well. And I said, oh, well, I can't wait for that. Well, here it is. So I sent a little note to Mo thanking him for that. And the Cardinals have a very nice situation here. This is the plan for this team is to never go back to where they were, which is kind of a half minor league system that was once the envy of baseball, an organization that won organization of the year under Mo's watch. With Bill DeWitt on down, this team has decided that they got behind. They don't want to catch up to everybody. They want to pass everybody. And they still have work to do to catch the Dodgers and some of these other teams that have instructors everywhere, that have top-notch facilities and technology. This is a big league facility, without question, down here in Jupiter, Florida. So, excellent job from that standpoint. Now, I look forward to getting some eyes on the team. I have been watching the team from a distance. I just got here yesterday from St. Louis. I had been paying attention to what Matt Pauley and Mike Claiborne, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, everybody was reporting from down here. But it's time to get after it, and I'm looking forward to seeing the game today. Cardinals take on the Marlins tomorrow, or today rather, 12:10 start, noon pregame. Tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, I will have the call with Mike Claiborne and Stephen Carey. We're going to bring you three straight games on our streaming platform at cardinals.com, KMOX.com. Stephen, Claibs, and I will have the game tomorrow, and then we will... Stephen and I will head to Port St. Lucie. Looking forward to that. He and I always have a great time on those road trips. We'll head up north to go see the Cardinals and the Mets on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, the three of us will be back at it in West Palm Beach for the Cardinals game there. So that is the plan for the next 3 days after this. For today, you're going to have Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne calling the action from our booth here at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. 12:10 start. Cardinals are the road team today in their own facility against the Miami Marlins. The Cardinals yesterday had an outstanding outing from Kyle Leahy. He pitched four perfect innings as the Cards lost the game to the Mets 3-2. They saw Leahy strike out five in his four perfect innings. Riley O'Brien held the game scoreless with a good fifth inning. Bryson Motz gave up a couple of runs in his two innings. Only one of those runs was earned. The Cardinals ended up losing it 3-2. Got a home run out of Joshua Baez. Got three hits out of Alec Burleson yesterday. He was 3-for-3. And the Cardinals also made some announcements. Jimmy Crooks, Leo Bernal, among those who were optioned to Triple-A Memphis. They didn't have Ivan Herrera in the lineup yesterday. He was a scratch, just a little bit of knee inflammation, which they're going to check out today. Ollie told me just a little while ago when I asked him in front of the group that he would know probably in about an hour how Ivan is moving around and if it's good to go or if he's going to need a couple of days. But they kept him out as a precaution yesterday due to that soreness. Riley O'Brien, who had a calf injury, Ollie telling me that Riley actually came out of that really well. He's looking good today. He will be on his schedule to make more appearances for the rest of spring training. He's one of those arms they're depending on for the back end of the bullpen, along with Matt Swanson. Ryan Stanek has been really good down here. Cardinals like their bullpen, and they like their rotation. I think the questions, of course, are these position players going to take another step forward and grow? And I'm pointing directly at Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. Those are two players that need to have really good years, I think. The go around the horn, though, Burleson, Weatherholt, Wynn, and the third baseman, presumably Gorman, have a chance to make some noise, especially Weatherholt and Burleson, with Wynn, somebody who will continue to move his offense forward. But I think Weatherholt has already locked up, in my mind, the leadoff spot. He looks awesome. Burleson, middle of the order bat. You can move him around anywhere, but he's a 2-3 or 4 hitter if you ever saw one. And then in the outfield, you know, big question. I don't know. I don't know who's going to play where. I mean, the center fielder today is Nathan Church. Church has a cannon, and he hit a bomb already this season. Victor Scott II has tons of speed, but hasn't shown a ton yet in terms of offense. So the center field position's interesting to me. Right field is Jordan Walker's spot, but you know he'll get a lot of time to play and show what he can do, get his at-bats going out there and at the plate and play a lot of right field and continue to improve there. But left field's a big question, and I want to see who starts there on opening day and beyond. Is it going to be Sejacy or Fermin? Will they go with somebody else out there, a regular outfielder? What is Lars Nootbaar's timetable? All that stuff is to be answered down here in spring training. And, of course, behind the plate. I mentioned Crooks and Bernal were sent out, so that leaves your Pajes and Pozo and Herrera and the catching position starting to have a little bit of clarity. So it's all very, very interesting. That, as you know, covering spring training down here is a passion of mine. It doesn't take me long to get from basketball, which I've been entrenched with for months, into baseball mode. It happens pretty quickly. So I'm looking forward to going through this entire roster and really digging in on a daily basis from here until the start of opening day as to what the Cardinals are going to look like. In fact, Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, is going to be on with us in about an hour. I have a lot of questions for him at 11:30. In fact, I've invited him to join me right here in our KMOX studio inside the Cardinals facility. So hopefully he takes me up on that. I look forward to sitting down with him. When we come back, we'll talk to Bernie Miklas. We have college basketball to get to for sure. There's a lot to talk about, especially with the Billikens. I have major concerns right now about them, Mizzou and the Valley Tournament and all that stuff. We have hockey to talk about. We have soccer to talk about. And we'll get you to Cardinal baseball with an 11:55 final break on this show to our noon pregame. Back in a moment. It's sports on a Sunday morning. Just absolutely thrilled to once again bring it to you live from Cardinals spring training in Jupiter, Florida, and we'll be right back.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
From Jupiter, Florida, we say hello in St. Louis to our good friend Bernie Miklas. Bernie, it's great to be back at spring training and talking baseball. How are you, buddy?
I'm fired up, man. A great time of the year. You know, we're less than 3 weeks from opening day at Busch Stadium. You've got, conference tournaments coming up and NCAA tournament coming up after that. So in college basketball. So a lot of great stuff going on. WBC.
Absolutely.
Which I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but I'll be jumping in on that.
Yeah. How about this? I'm going to go with Dave Glover and Michael Kelly. I am taking them to Lone Depot Park on Wednesday. We're going to go see the Dominican Republic, managed by Albert Pujols, take on Venezuela. You don't think that'll be exciting and energetic in that building? Holy smokes.
Oh, gosh. You guys will have fun. What a great atmosphere that'll be.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Looking forward to that. I had a nice dinner last night with those guys and John Hancock and Mike Claiborne, and it's nice to be back down here. Got here yesterday, just getting adjusted, Bernie, but as I mentioned in the open, it doesn't take me long. I really love this game of baseball. This organization has been very good to me, and I know that the fans have a great history with it, and it'll take some time for everybody, I think, to adjust to where the Cardinals are going right now. But it hit me pretty hard when I saw the facility here, Bernie. It's kind of like a sign to everybody that things are changing around here. This is now a top of the line, and the Cardinals expect this organization and everything that they do moving forward to be top of the line.
See, and I think that you nailed it. You nailed it. Listen, we all have talked about, a thousand times, like the mistakes that were made along the way and how they let some things slide. There's no question about that. But there's really no point in talking about that anymore because we know what happened. You can't change it, except they did change it. And now they have a whole new era beginning. And what I think is maybe challenging for some people is that naturally we tend to pay attention to what happens between the lines, who's hitting. This guy's hitting this. That pitcher has that ERA. And so we'll make judgments on spring training games, but we'll make judgments in regular season games. And maybe the results won't be great. Maybe they'll be better than we think. Maybe they'll be a little worse than we think. I don't know. But my message would be this. There have been sweeping changes, top to bottom, all for the better. The Cardinals have caught up. They're now, in terms of modernization, they have joined the upper class in Major League Baseball in terms of facilities and technology and all the things they were lacking before, instructors, teachers, specialized instruction. So it's hard to see the progress, like if the team's got a below 500 record, right? You see, well, okay, that all that stuff's nice, but they have a losing team. What it's important to do is the stuff that we don't see, the stuff below the surface, the stuff that happens away from the nine innings they play each day, the stuff that happens in the minor leagues in terms of and in a whole new world in terms of instruction and facilities and technology. We don't see those things during the regular season. But that's where incredible changes have been made, incredible changes that are going to lead to a bright future for the Cardinals. So I think people just need to keep that in mind. You're not going to see it. It's literally not within your vision because it's happening in other places. But, man, what progress they've made. And it's that's what's got me fired up. In other words, Tom, sorry I'm talking so long. If you're going to rebuild, who wants to rebuild, right? Although the Cardinals had to. If you're going to rebuild, do it the right way and spare no expense and do everything you have to do to make it a great rebuild. And they are doing everything they have to do to strengthen the possibility that it'll be a rebuild that's very, very well done. Only time will tell on that.
Absolutely. And everybody has to keep their focus. There is an expectation level now. And I think that everybody will have their foot on the gas here, whether it's players, front office, coaches, manager. By the way, broadcasters, columns will be written, stories will be documented, video, you name it. If you're part of this entire movement moving forward, everybody will be held accountable. There should be open and honest discussions about where the Cardinals are headed. None of that is going to stop, and the fans will do the same. They'll jump on. It's going to take some time, but they'll be part of it too. My question to you is, realistically, how long do you think it could take for the Cardinals to have a team that is making a legitimate push for a World Series, which is where they used to expect to be each and every year?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that they're going to be more competitive this year than a lot of people think. I think next year, in 2027, we don't know what's going to happen on the labor front, whether the season will be interrupted and all that. But I think in 2027, they're going to make great progress. they'll be in the winning column. You know, maybe they'll even be on the borderline of being a playoff contender. 2028 is where I believe it'll start to get really, really interesting, and it'll start to get – the excitement will start to build. Now, whether that means they're going to be able to get into the tournament and compete for a World Series, I have no idea. I mean, because it just really depends on the prospects that this organization is really, really excited about, and they have every reason to be excited about them. But will those prospects come through? Will they meet expectations, or will they fall below expectations? It's just very tough to look. For me, anyway, it's really tough to look too far into the future. But we do know this. They have their best farm system in terms of player development and farm system rankings than they've had in a very, very long time. And, you know, they are – so much deeper in young talent than they've been in a very long time. I would say not since 2013 have they had this much young talent in development and going to be getting to the majors one by one over the next 2-3 years. So that's the exciting part. You know what's coming. There may be some patience required to know exactly what that means in terms of success, but I think Chaim Bloom's really, really smart. I know Bill DeWitt will spend some money when they're getting close, where they have to sort of top off their roster with things they don't have. I think they'll be more aggressive then, of course, during the winter, during the trademark, some free agency. So I think it's going to be really fascinating and a lot of fun to just see how this all plays out.
Bernie, one more thing on this, and I just heard you say it, and I hear other people say it too, that you think this team could be better this year than some think. What leads you to believe that?
Well, starting pitching is going to be much better than it was last year. And, you know, I throw this stat out there, but I'm going to do it again. You know, not to pick on these guys, but last season when Michaelis, Fetty, and Pallante started a game, the Cardinals had a winning percentage of about 378. When anybody else started a game, their winning percentage was about 640. The point is, the starting pitching was so bad, it just nullified them in so many games where they just didn't have a chance to win. That will not be the case this year. It'll be much – the starting pitching – I'm not saying, like I joke, I'm not saying this is 1968 with Gibson. Okay, I'm not saying that. But compared to last year, this will be a deeper group, a solid group, a more talented group. And they will win. They won 78 games last year, and I still don't know how they did it, really. They're going to win more games this year, a lot more games this year, simply because the starting pitching will keep them in the games, and the starting pitching will not get them blown out of games really, the way it happened so often last year.
Bernie, just a little bit of time left. This is March, and basketball has a way of finding you in March. Mm-hmm. If you don't have your team ready to go, you will get beat. These are the best coaches, and they will find a way to beat you. And you're seeing it with St. Louis University. This is a fall that I'm very concerned about. But what did you see? What is your analysis right now of SLU? And then if you don't mind, comment on Mizzou, too, as we head into the tournament.
You know, I haven't been into Mizzou as much as SLU, but I'm going to tell you this. I did some homework expecting that you'd ask me about this. These three road losses, Rhode Island, Dayton, and George Mason, you know, if you look at the bottom line, the turnovers have killed the Billikens. In those three road losses, outscored 64-23 on turnovers, and it was really bad, you know, the Rhode Island game and the Mason game. Then you look at three-point shooting in the three road losses. SLU got 54 points on threes. Their opponent scored 81. If you look at the foul line discrepancy, huge advantage. The other side, 81 to 54. Excuse me, I got that wrong. In the three road losses, SLU made 40 free throws. Their opponents made 65. So the turnovers are killing them. The lack of offensive rebounding is killing them. The three-point shooting differential is killing them. And there's a couple of other things. But the turnovers have absolutely destroyed the momentum this team had so wonderfully before they started getting thumped on the road.
Yeah, it's been a tough one for sure. And Now you try to figure out what this thing is going to look like. If I'm Josh Schertz, I'm telling my team, you got to go win this A-10 tournament. Don't put this in the hands of anybody else. But it's tough. They're going to have to figure it out this week. And this week, right here, right now, with a Friday 10:30 start for SLU against the winner of Fordham and GW. Bernie, we appreciate our visits as always. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing about Mizzou, they're Jekyll and Hyde. And I don't mean that to disparage them, but you know, they're capable of beating Florida and Kentucky and other teams that we've seen, and then they'll show up the next game, and you don't know what you're going to get. So that's why I say it's really hard for me to diagnose the Mizzou Tigers, but they're going to get in. They got about a 67% chance for an at-large bid.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. They're too inconsistent for my taste, but when they do turn it on, they can be overwhelming because of their size and athleticism. We'll see where it all goes. They play the winner of Kentucky and LSU on Thursday morning at 11:30. So we got a lot of basketball in front of us. I love this time of year where you get basketball during the day, baseball during the day. We all kind of process it and do it all over the next day. There's a lot going on. Bernie, always good to hear your voice, my friend. We'll have the very latest from spring training, and I know we're going to have coverage each and every day from here on out. We appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
He is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling and Stewart's American Mortgage. It's always a treat to visit with Bernie Miklas. Coming up next, it is my analyst on the Billiken TV broadcast, Troy Robertson, the former Billiken, is going to join us to talk more about this SLU team. At 10:45, Mike Palm of Circa Sports, they have a partnership with the St. Louis Blues we will talk about, but also how to get yourself a little action during this time of year. They have a sports betting site that is out of this world and some really good deals as well. As everybody's sort of figuring this Missouri sports gambling out right now, Circa seems to have caught their stride, that's for sure. Mike Palm will be with us at 11:15. Corey Ray, St. Louis City SC, has not caught their stride when it comes to offense, so they've got to figure that out, and pronto. We'll talk to Corey about it, see how patient he is with what Yoan DeMay's team is doing. And at 11:30, Haim Bloom from here in Jupiter, Florida. I'm Tom Ackerman at the Cardinal Spring Training Home, and we will be right back on Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It's 10:34. It is Sports on a Sunday Morning. Tom Ackerman coming to you from Jupiter, Florida, the Cardinal Spring Training Home. I'll be here for the rest of camp. Just got here yesterday, and I'll tell you, I was busy yesterday just kind of getting everything settled, and I looked at my phone, and I looked at the score, and I said, oh, my goodness, come on now. SLU loses 86-57 to George Mason on the road, and joining us to talk about it is my partner on the telecast, Troy Robertson. Troy, I am now just sort of, you know, taking it in, trying to understand what it all means, but I can tell you one thing. There are some concerns out of the gate about this team heading into the postseason, I would say. Hello to you, my friend.
Hello, my friend. How you doing? Jealous that you're in Jupiter. Good for you. It's certainly, you know, I think with the Dayton game, you could look and go, okay, it was a bad night. Let's have one of those games where we burn the tape, learn our lessons, and move on. And now you have a real pattern. I mean, three road games in a row that you've lost. Three significant losses, this one being the worst. And, you know, if you're Coach Schertz and company, kind of, he said it in the post game that he was a 10 out of a 10 on his concern level. So you kind of look at the tape, and it's probably a blessing. You have a big, a whole week of practice before you play Friday again. So you get healthy, you really get intense, you get serious about your preparation and kind of diagnose the mistakes and then get after and practice to fix them.
Yeah, you got to figure out first, I guess, Robbie Avila and make sure that you have the best treatment that you can for his foot. When I heard Coach talking about plantar fasciitis in the post game and that they didn't know if they were going to have him, that obviously draws a red flag. And then it's understandable that he would commit fouls because if your foot's bothering you, it's hard to catch up with people. I mean, you're trying to do what you can defensively. Yeah. That's an issue.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And I've had plantar fasciitis, not when I was at SLU, but shortly thereafter. And it just feels like your foot's like in concrete. And you can get it going. I mean, I think back, I used to hop into the bathtub every morning and like run hot water, stick my foot in there to get like circulation going. Then once you kind of get it going, you get a hard sweat, it doesn't bother you during the game, but before and after, I tell you, it's just awful. And then, you know, one day it just kind of goes away and you work yourself through it as you stretch it and you get treatment. So I'm sure they'll have all hands on deck. Of course, he is, you know, the one irreplaceable part. They call him that trigger on offense. And as you well know, you know, everything runs through him. The passes, the cuts, you know, his pick and pops. I think so much of our offense is predicated upon his playmaking and the way he reads the defense. So he's obviously critical to their success and, you know, his injury. But I think the biggest thing, and I'm sure Coach Schertz is working on it, is defense. I mean, the last three road games, even the games at home, it feels like the other team has just lived in the paint off the drives. And yesterday it was, I thought, you know, totally eye-opening. I mean, George Mason just got to their spot so easily with no resistance. And so I think you start with the defense and you start by trying to get Robbie healthy. Those are the two things I'm sure it's front and center this morning.
What are you hearing in nationally and locally, I guess, in terms of their NCAA tournament chances? I mean, how much does this derail the SLU train that seemingly was on that track?
Well, I think the projection I saw this morning was that their net dropped to somewhere around 40. And so I think that still puts them in. I mean, as of this morning, if you're me in the brackets, they're firmly in. I think their seed has gone from, you know, their best case of being a 6 and likely a 7 to, you know, you're definitely flirting 8, 9, maybe 10 if you don't play well, you know, in Pittsburgh. So they have room, and all the equity that they have and all the accomplishments and the great season they have, you know, they've got some equity to burn, but they're certainly burning it at a good clip. And I think if you went out Friday and did not play well and lost that game, I think you'd be in real jeopardy. I still think personally they're in. But as the regular season A-10 champs, but all of a sudden you'd get – things would be in jeopardy and you'd be feeling nervous. So they need to just reset, refocus, go get Friday. And then certainly if they were to get Saturday in the semifinals, then they would be firmly in. And then all of a sudden if you can win the tournament – then all of a sudden you're back to feeling good about your seed and your momentum.
I think that he's handled, talking about Josh Schertz, the whole coaching speculation very well. I felt like he kind of put that to bed. Like, what does that have to do with this team right here, right now? In fact, he's already been down this road once. There was a lot, not as much now, but there was a lot around him 2 years ago when he was coaching Indiana State. It wasn't his fault that the committee just took them out. Now, they didn't win the Valley tournament. That would have helped, obviously, an automatic bid. But they got denied, which was a crime, I thought. He was down that road then. That team continued on and darn near won the NIT.
Yeah, no, I thought his statement was great, what he said to Stu Durando, and just said, look, he appreciates the – you know, the attention, he understands the speculation because you've had a really good season, but the focus is still with SLU here and now. And I'll tell you, you know, Tom, you know how this works. It will be until next Sunday when all the conference tournaments are done and then other schools make decisions on their current coaches. And then all of a sudden speculation ramps up. But but knowing Coach Schertz like I do and just their whole staff, especially after yesterday, it is full throttle, full concentration, full focus on the Billikens. I don't care if, you know, some major school called tomorrow. I think he would just hit decline because, competitively speaking, yesterday I'm sure kind of shook them to their core, and they're just, you know, doing everything they can to prepare for Pittsburgh. So that time will come, you know, and the reality is the better they play in March, the more those calls are come, if they play poor down the stretch here, then, you know, maybe some of that fire burns down. But I to hear him say that it was the first time all season where he felt like they dropped the rope competitively, meaning they kind of gave in. I know, Coach, that does not sit well with him.
Troy Robertson is with us, and the Billikens will be playing on Friday morning at 10:30 here on KMOX against either Fordham or GW. One last thing before we go, Troy, and that is, what if Robbie is hampered by it? What if they have to play and really limit his minutes? Is there one player in your mind that needs to step up his game or needs to be the focus moving forward, or is it more of a collective thing?
It's probably collective, but I think the immediate thing that comes to mind is Kellen Thames. You know, he's so versatile as it is. I think they'll use Kellen, obviously, at the four more on defense and just get his athleticism out there. The other one that comes to mind is Brady Dunlop. I think they've used him a little bit as that trigger man at the top of the key in practice and at other times as kind of a backup option. Obviously, you get a lot of shooting and you get a lot of smart and great passing out there with Brady. So there's some of that, all those skill sets that Robbie has. It's just the big disadvantage is they just don't have another big body. They don't have another 6'9", 6'10", unless you want to put Jax Kerr out there. And that's probably a pretty big ask for the freshman. So I think you go with kind of who brought you. And, of course, Kellen's just been sensational all year. And Brady will have to really step it up and have his best, you know, week to 2 weeks if Robbie is limited.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for doing this on short notice. I texted you this morning, and as always, you answer the bell and come through for sports on a Sunday morning.
Hey, anything for you. I'll try not to be jealous as you get this program done and then find yourself on a golf course or a sunny beach. I'll be happy for you, and I won't be a cynic here in Kirkwood.
I will do my best. Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you real soon. Troy Robertson. Does a great job, former Billiken on TV. We've had a lot of fun over the last couple of years, and we don't want this season to end. I'd love to see another month out of the Billikens. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Mike Palm of Circa Sports. Get ready, folks. This is the time of year. I used to have a lot of fun with some friends back in the early days of going out to March Madness in Las Vegas. Those were fun times, watching all those games at the sports book. Well, that was back when I was in my 20s. You know what you can do now? You can sit around at home and do it because it is legal in the state of Missouri. We will talk to Mike Palm next. And then next hour, oh yeah, we're lined up with Corey Ray of City, with Heim Bloom of the Cardinals here in Jupiter. I'm Tom Ackerman on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX. Coming to you from Cardinals Spring Training in Jupiter, Florida, it is an absolute treat to have back on the show the Vice President of Operations for Circa. Mike Palm is with us. I can't wait for this conversation. I absolutely love Circa and everything about him. And, Mike, I love this time of year. This is the month, and it has been the month since I was a little kid. I just get that passion when it comes to college basketball and down here with baseball. How are you?
Tom, you got the best of both worlds. You're in beautiful Arizona, and you get to watch all these small conference tournaments, Missouri Valley wrapping up today, and then all the big conferences next week. Yeah, for a better, I think next week is probably, if you love college basketball, the best week of the year because you get so many games every day. I mean, let's face it, with the big tournament, you get 16, 16, and 8, and 8, but you're getting, you know, 80-plus games on Wednesday and Thursday next week in these conference tournaments. And oftentimes, teams playing each other for a third time. So I think for handicappers and bettors, it's the perfect week.
I have enjoyed conversations with you and with your CEO of Circa Sports, Derek Stevens. Tell us about Win Derek's Wallet. This is very interesting. It's unique, I think, when it comes to sports betting.
Yeah, so we started this promotion. Today wraps up the second full week, and then there's one more week of it. So it includes Selection Sunday. So 8 days left in this. Bettors in Missouri can earn shares of Derek's Wallet. And Derek's Wallet, for the purposes of this promotion, is $250,000. There's different tier levels to earn a share. A bettor could earn up to 3 shares. Very basically, if you wager just $100 during this period, you earn 1 share. Anyone that wagers 1,000 or more earns 2 shares, and those that wager 5,000 or more earn 3 shares. And I have to tell you, Tom, I'm just looking at the pacing here. Looks like we might come in right around a little under 500 shares, and if that's the case, each share would be worth over $500.
Huh. Yeah, that's a lot of money to be earned right now. That's when. How did you all come up with this, and what was behind that?
Well, you know, obviously, we launched in Missouri on December 1st, and you know, we're going up against some brands that have some national awareness, and obviously, casino operators that are having their own sports books. So we're sort of the new guy in Missouri, and trying to give folks a reason to come and check out Circa. We don't do all the bonusing like some of the others do. We try to have our value and our pricing. But that's very demonstrative, Tom. People have to come and experience to understand it. Somebody would say, well, why would I bet with Circa when I can bet with brand X, and let's just say FanDuel, you know, and I'm going to get a $200 bonus every week, and I'm going to get the parlay boost and all that. And I would tell you, because over the long run, having paying less juice on your bets and getting better pricing, both on a daily basis and in the future, is better in the long run. But that's demonstrative. You have to have people go on the app and start using it for them to figure that out. So we thought, as a way to get Missouri bettors to come and check us out, we would give away those $250,000 in this wonderful time of the year in March.
Circa just has a ton of experience, I feel like, for many years. Did you go to players and say, what do you want? What could make this the best experience overall for you? Because I do feel like this is designed for players specifically, by people who have been on both sides of the counter.
Well, it starts with Derek. And, you know, you mentioned Derek Stevens, our owner and CEO. I mean, you know, him and his family are in the automotive supply industry. You know, they make fasteners that go on these cars, and it's an incredible business. And, you know, his first experience of Las Vegas was as a gambler himself. And, you know, in 2007, with the economy taking a downturn, he felt the need to diversify his family's holdings. And so he came out to Las Vegas and bought 50% of the Golden Gate. But his ultimate goal, even back then in 2007, was to have his own sports book, because the two things he loves is to play craps and bet sports. So a lot of this comes from what he loves as a bettor. And I mean, the stadium swim at Circa, the pool with the huge screen, right? It's an outdoor sports book. I mean, that was one of his things. He used to take us all around every Sunday in the summers from like 2014 through 2018. And we would go to all these different pools in Las Vegas, great pools, right? DJs and the day drinking and all that. But you couldn't get to watch a game. I mean, we went one place one time and they didn't have it. The NBA Finals was going on a Sunday afternoon, and they weren't showing it at the pool. So everything is sort of designed from that perspective. And then, you know, we want the pro bettors to bet with us. We're not saying, oh, you're pro, you're winning better. We don't want you to bet with us. We actually want you to bet with us because we want to get to the right number quicker. And we can do that by, you know, if we put a number up there and, you know, we say the game's minus four and we got our pros laying four, laying five, laying six. Well, we probably put the wrong number up, and the sooner we can get to the right number, whether it's 6.5 or 7, the better it is for us. So we embrace that, and you said it very well. It's designed from a bettor's perspective.
Yeah, I've been in that situation where I've been in a pool in Vegas, and I'm looking at my phone, like, trying to get the scores. It's, you know, ridiculous. I mean, you did an amazing job of that. One last thing, and that is because something else that you did, you recognized right away, we got to link ourselves to a great St. Louis brand. So you went right in with the St. Louis Blues. Tell us about that partnership and why that's meaningful to you.
Yeah, it's really been great so far. And, Chris Zimmerman and his team, we've had a tremendous experience working with them. We know how invested the Blues are in the city and in the community. And that's not to say the Cardinals aren't, right? But, you know, when you get into baseball, it's a little different numbers in terms of sponsorship, and getting into football, it's even more ridiculous. But and we're big hockey guys, obviously, right? And we come from the Midwest, and all of us, and of course, huge Knights supporters. And Derek's a big Red Wings fan. I grew up a big Blackhawks fan, right? So we love hockey. The great thing about hockey is, you know, they play the games on Mondays and Tuesday nights, and Wednesday nights and Thursday nights, and that's a great time to take customers out. You know, we don't want to take everybody away from the casino on Saturday and Sunday because we throw the party there. So Hockey's great. The Blues are great. St. Louis is a great sports town. I've always said I thought the Cardinals had the most educated fan base of any professional sports team. My dad used to take us every year to St. Louis. You know, he preferred to go to St. Louis to watch the Cubs play as opposed to going to Chicago. So every year we would go down for a four-game series at Busch Stadium. So it's been great so far, and we're really happy that we were able to connect with the Blues early.
It's Circa Sports. You can download the app and get right after it. And it is a pleasure to be joined by Mike Palm, their Vice President of Operations. Good to talk to you again, Mike. Have a great rest of your day and enjoy the college basketball this month. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, enjoy that good weather in Arizona, Tom. Thanks.
I'll do my best down here in Jupiter, Florida, as Mike Palm joins us. It is sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio, Cardinals spring training. And when we come back next hour, we will get all into the St. Louis City SC game yesterday. They lost 1-0 to Seattle. We'll talk to Heim Bloom here in studio. He's going to join us. Don't go anywhere. Sports on a Sunday morning.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is hour number two coming to you from the Cardinals Spring Training Complex. Good to be with you. If you are joining us on X, YouTube, and Facebook, you can see that our video is up and running. We had no problems with it at all. I just didn't do it the first hour. We had a lot going on over here. I had Ollie Marmel talking to reporters up until a couple of minutes before we went on the air. Got a tour of this fantastic facility. Got everything situated here. It's very nice to have our own room. And you can see that I'm in it right now. And joining me here at 11:30 will be Heim Bloom. So I'm going to have to position this camera so both of us can be on so that we can see what it looks like here down in Jupiter, Florida. I also have an announcement on behalf of KMOX and the Cardinals. We are very pleased to announce that the Gas House Gang, which is incredibly popular right now, and we thank all of you for that. This is Cardinals fans who power this thing. Cardinals fans, don't ever doubt Cardinals fans. Let me say that first before I make this announcement. If you are not a Cardinals fan and you look at these games and you see empty seats at Busch Stadium and you're saying, what's wrong with Cardinals fans? Don't they care about the team anymore? Don't ever doubt them. They have boosted the Gas House Gang to heights that I'm not even sure we expected, and it's much appreciated. But I'll tell you, the guy that really jump-started this show, not this show, this was jump-started by the great people who have carried KMOX through this 100-year run, but the Gas House Gang specifically, is Ollie Marmel, the Cardinals manager who started to do the show with us on Tuesdays. I'm happy to announce that he will return in 2026 and will be with us every Tuesday at 12:05 p.m. So we are thrilled about that. He will be back on the radio station. It's a rare opportunity. I'm not sure of any manager that does it. I've heard that Aaron Boone does a thing with John Boy, which is cool. John Boy Media, they've always done a great job with baseball and specifically connected to the New York Yankees. But there isn't a manager in baseball who sits with a laptop in front of him and our streaming platform in front of him, and he can see what we see. So he sees all the comments. Ollie this, Ollie that, fire Ollie, blah, blah, blah. He sees it. And he also sees the good stuff because there are some people who do appreciate the fact that he's on. I think even the negative people appreciate the fact that he's there to answer questions from us, from listeners, and to give us insights into the game. And it was Ollie who really collaborated with us on this and wanted to be inside the KMOX window where he could have a little more time to explain. That some of the things that we were doing with him were so short, you know, you have to rip through some news items. There's just not enough time for him to sort of explain what's going on. And some of the things that he did last year, I thought were excellent and in some cases made news. For example, when he had Brant Brown, the Cardinals hitting coach, join us to speak very openly about what was going on behind the scenes with this club, and specifically Jordan Walker, some of those comments that Brant made and Ollie made made some news. And it was so we appreciate Ollie for explaining and being dedicated to the platform. And he does this for Cardinals fans to better understand the club. What I think happens is that people start to better understand him. And he is a smart baseball man, but better than that, he's a good man. And I think he has this team. They have his back. He has theirs. He holds them accountable. Chaim Bloom could have gone with any manager he wanted, and he's decided to go with Ollie Marmol on this project. And this is a team that somehow won 78 games last year with a pitching staff that was serving up a lot of hard-hit balls. I'm not sure that happens this year from the rotation, but we'll see. It'll be up to Ollie and the staff to continue to mold those hitters into being winners. And then behind this rotation are some exciting prospects that are on the way. So the project is well underway. It's going to take some time for it to come to fruition, but it's impressive so far what they've been able to do in laying the groundwork. We thank Ollie for doing that. He'll be with us every Tuesday at 12:05 till about the bottom of the hour. So the first half of the show with Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, and me. So that's going to be a lot of fun on Tuesdays. Chaim Bloom will be with us in studio on the way at 11:30. But coming up next, we're going to be joined by Corey Ray, the sporting director at St. Louis City SC. And City last night lost to Seattle 1-0. Let's get a report from KMOX's Jen Cease from Energizer Park. Oh, we'll catch up with Jen in just a bit. We don't have that at the ready. But we shall. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get the real story from Corey Ray, the sporting director at City. He's going to talk about all things soccer. Chaim Bloom at 11:30. Then we'll get you ready for Cardinal baseball, which is at 12 today, at 12:10 first pitch, 12 o'clock pregame. And, yes, we're going to talk more college basketball as Troy Robertson was with us. We'll see if we can get the very latest on what the bracket projections are. Let's go back to Jen Cease and her report from Energizer Park.
St. Louis City SC controlled much of the ball Saturday night at Energizer Park, but could not find the breakthrough in a 1-0 loss to the Seattle Sounders. The teams were scoreless at halftime before Seattle struck just 2 minutes into the second half. City pushed forward from there, finishing with the majority of possession, but struggled to turn dangerous moments into clear chances. Head coach Yohan DeMay says that's where the difference was in this match.
We created a lot of danger that we didn't convert enough into clear opportunities. Looking at the performance, quite happy with where we're at tonight. So that's a little bit of a mixed feeling between the performance of the group and, of course, the results that are two different things at the moment.
Marcel Harda was back in the lineup, and City also saw the debut of new forward Sergio Cordova, who entered in the second half for Cedric Teuchert. They'll train this week for travel back to the West Coast to face LAFC on Saturday. With the City Spotlight, I'm Jen Cease, KMOX Sports.
Great job, Jen. We appreciate it. We'll hear from Corey Ray, sporting director for City, next. They are on Y98 FM for all of their games, and KMOX has that station right down the hall in our Odyssey collection. We're coming to you from Jupiter, Florida, the Cardinals spring training home, and we'll be right back from the Stiefel Sports Studio, sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back to the show, coming to you live from Jupiter, Florida, the Cardinals spring training home here at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Joining us, fresh off a game at Energizer Park, is the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. Corey Ray is with us this morning. And Corey, I'll start with this. It's great to talk to you again. This 11:15 slot is open to you whenever you are available. We make this St. Louis City SC spot, so the door is open anytime at your convenience.
I appreciate that. I think you just got to check with my daughter if that's okay, because it's a good time in the morning to catch up with her as well. So happy to do it whenever I can, of course.
I bet it is. Oh, Sunday mornings are very special to spend with family, and we love being part of people's lives here on the radio, but we also respect our guests' lives as well. And we thank you for taking some time. Before I talk soccer, how are things adjusting to our fine area here in St. Louis?
Yeah, really, really enjoying it. You know, now that we're back from preseason and kind of getting settled, you know, having a really nice few days here. We just moved into a home, getting the kids all settled as well. So I'm hoping this weather stays as well and we can get out and start to enjoy everything in the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, let's get that going, this nice spring and summer weather that St. Louis is famous for, although it gets hot. It gets hot in that Energizer Park, but I know that the players are adjusted to that. Aren't they? I mean, that isn't that part of everything that you do? Well, you talk about the science of the game, the endurance factor in this sport is immense, isn't it, Corey Ray?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have a strong base coming out of preseason, but the amount of work that these guys put in during the week to just be prepared for the game is commendable. They do a lot, obviously, on the field and in the gym to be prepared. So we're quite happy in terms of that side of things where we're at. But clearly the group is pushing and trying to do their best to make sure that we have a really strong physical base, you know, as we move into the next couple months.
When I talked to Diego not long ago about the identity of St. Louis City SC, what is that? He said it's not far off from what we were trying to do before when we were trying to be, I believe, I don't want to take his words but or mess him up, but I, you know, more of an aggressive style of play. That does take a lot of effort and endurance as well, doesn't it, Corey? And how do you, what, let me ask you about the identity of City. How do you want City to be known throughout the organization?
Yeah, so building off of, you know, some of the success, you know, that the team had on against the ball side of things, we definitely want to be on the front foot. We want to be aggressive when the other team does have the ball. We'd like to turn it over and win it up higher and then, you know, create chances from that. But this year and moving forward, we do want to start to also solve some problems with the ball and finding that right balance. And, you know, game states can affect the way that looks. And obviously opposition scouting can affect some of that. But I think we want to have a good mix of both. You did mention the summertime here and in some of the markets we play in is tough. So if we're only aggressive and if we're only waiting to be reactive to the other teams, I think that doesn't allow us to have a really high ceiling. So we are working on the ball things. You know, you could see some positive moments in the last few games with that, but that's the type of stuff that does take quite a bit for our players to get used to each other, for the coach to implement a lot of different ideas in different phases. But there's positive signs, but it's also not something that's just going to happen when you just flip the switch and start playing. So we are definitely working on that, but there's been, I think, a really good improvement on that side, trying to solve, you know, some of the defensive setups that we've come up against. And we are aware that it won't be something that can just happen tomorrow, but I'm happy in some of the opportunities we've been able to create, but we got to finish. We know we got to be a bit more ruthless there, and so we'll continue to work on that as the weeks go by.
How would you overall evaluate that game against Seattle? As, of course, we're talking about the bigger picture here about the team moving forward, but that Seattle game is indicative of what you just said, isn't it? You were out shooting them, I believe it was 8-2 in the first half. They score in the first 2 minutes of the second half, and you're not able to show anything for your efforts on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I think it's good that we're really upset that we didn't beat Seattle. You know, I think it's good that we felt like, you know, especially in the first game as well against Charlotte, that we should have won. We tried to go toe-to-toe with San Diego, and they're an amazing team, but we're playing some really, really well-oiled machines. I have a long history of not being able to beat Seattle. They're an excellent team. They're well-organized. They just do everything really well, and they don't give up a lot. And so that is a learning for us. You know, if we do make a mistake, these top teams will punish you. And so we got to get that out of our system early. But overall, I think, look, we had the opportunity to really, you know, take something from the game. Overall, we do need to refine some of those final third actions and be a lot more ruthless, like I said. But in general, like, we are playing a team like Seattle and controlling the game in most of the areas and not giving up a lot against them either. And so I think that's the positive we can take from that. And, you know, we will go back to the drawing board this week and start to really tweak on those final third opportunities as much as we can.
Corey, were those hard decisions to make when you had to move on from players who had been known around here for a while, like Joao Klaus? I mean, we're seeing it down here at spring training. Chaim Bloom, who I'm going to visit with next, is in a situation where he has had to not tear the team down completely necessarily, but he has had to move on some players. He's trying some younger players and trying to create a fresh start for this team. How did you approach that going in as you took over St. Louis City SC from a sporting director standpoint?
Yeah, look, we certainly appreciate everything that the players had done in the past for the club. But when there's opportunities that present themselves, that especially for the player, that makes sense for them and gives them, you know, the best chance for them and their family. And as a club, we can use the resources, you know, to improve the team long term. I think you have to do it. It's certainly not something, you know, when it comes to goals that we're planning on losing. But I think if we have the patience and the discipline to work with that and to add that back into the team over the course of the next few months, I think you have to do that. We're happy for him and any other player that go on and, you know, do well. But this is a long-term kind of plan here. And certainly if a player is out of contract at the end of the year, you have to make tough decisions. And so I can understand, especially on the baseball side as well, like building up a strong base of assets to then go back out and acquire players that maybe fit more of the long-term vision makes sense. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
Do you have, your answer is going to be yes to this. Do you have the backing of ownership? But how do you have the backing of ownership? What do you feel from ownership in terms of resources and support here moving forward?
I feel great. I mean, I've definitely had a number of conversations about what this group needs to look like to contend, you know, to try to win trophies, you know, in the future. And so there's, you know, clearly quick things you can do to just, you know, be in and around a playoff line. But Johan and I came here to win and to win trophies. And so some of the short-term pain, it sucks. You know, we're fiercely competitive. We want to win every game, but we understand that, you know, we don't want to cut corners here with this project. And so ownership has been amazing for the both of us, the support and understanding that we have all the resources that we need to make this, you know, a top caliber team. But with that, we need to make sure that we have the right, you know, scouting group set up. We need to make sure we have the right analysis group set up. And, you know, candidly, that's something that this club hasn't really had in the past in a strong way, at least not what I'm used to. And so we are building behind the scenes with the support of ownership as well to make those big decisions and try to, you know, take a baseball term, hit home runs in recruitment as quickly as possible. So we're very excited about what we can do, you know, with the backing and resources of ownership. They're very competitive as well, and they want this team to be as good as they can as quickly as possible. And so we are working away at the maybe less exciting things to do that while trying to get these results. And so it's a tight balance we're trying to manage. But I think, you know, overall, you can see some big improvement on what we're trying to do from an on-field side of things. But, you know, quality is very important in those final third actions. That's what we're working on right now to make sure we have moving forward.
And one last thing, and I love stories like this, and I'll attribute it. It's Tom Timmerman of the Post-Dispatch, who does a really good job covering the team, but he was, among others, listening in on Roman Berkey, who you still have, who is the face of the franchise in many ways, who has been notoriously aggressive back there, barking orders to his team, holding them accountable, who said, you know, I've kind of not had to do that as much because this coaching staff is very demanding. Do you feel that, Corey? And is that the history of Johan Demay and his group?
Yeah, but the standards are high. We come off again a game against a team that's won the Champions League, Leagues Cup, MLS Cup multiple times, a coach, you know, who's been in and around, you know, the professional game for I think 20 plus years in Brian Schmetzer. And we're really disappointed. I mean, that is very important for our culture moving forward. It's not, oh, well, like whatever. I mean, we're upset, and we have, you know, the other team telling the coaching staff and players, like, wow, you guys are really good. Stick to it. So we're proud. I know the standards going into the game and the effort from the coaching staff is in a really, really, really good way. But this is also a very competitive league with full of parity. And so we have to find a way to differentiate ourselves. I think we will be, you know, working each week to make sure we have progress. But these guys are unbelievable in their preparation. And I think that's kind of Roman's point. Like, the guys inside the locker room can see the improvements. I just, for us, we're really, really, really pushing so that the fans can see it as well.
Thank you very much for the time. This is always very valuable, not only for us here at KMOX, but for the fans. So we thank you very much. And the best to you as you move forward, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you. Don't forget your sunscreen down there.
That's right. I got it right here. I got to get that on. It's a little that'll affect me right away. That's Corey Ray, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. Good to chat with him. When we come back, Chaim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, will join me here in studio inside the Cardinals Complex. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that studio is in Jupiter, Florida now at Cardinals Spring Training, and we're joined by the President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom. Look at this. I'm putting us both in the camera shot so everybody can see us here on KMOX. We're on YouTube. We're on X. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice facility.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. I know your first taste of it. We're starting to get used to it enough, but we can never take it for granted. It really is wonderful. It's so helpful to all the things that we're trying to accomplish. This has been such a long time coming. There's so many people that put so much work into this. It was cool for me, I mean, certainly to get down here last month and see it, but then also have the experience of seeing a lot of other people, especially veteran Cardinals who have spent literally decades of their life in this facility, to come in and see what it's become.
How does it stack up with the rest of baseball, talking Arizona and Florida?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I haven't been everywhere else, so I only know what I know. You know, I really think before there was definitely a sense, look, no one around here complains. This is a staff that just has an attitude of just rolling up their sleeves and getting the work done. That's always how it's been around here. So, you know, nobody viewed it as an obstacle or an impediment, but we knew. I think everybody knew that it was kind of below where the league was. And so I don't know how it would stack up if you ranked it, but I'll tell you what, you walk around here and I don't think there's anybody around here who feels that we aren't equipped now, being in this facility, that we can go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to touring the Performance Center as well. By the way, there's a water right there. That came from the food and beverage area. If you want a water, yeah,
all right,
happy to
thank
do
you.
It. I mean, I haven't seen that either. I mean, and that's actually a big deal. I know that we're going to talk about the club in a minute, but nutrition is part of this whole thing. Not that it wasn't good food before. There was a food truck, basically.
Yeah, and actually, given that it was a mobile kitchen, it was pretty remarkable what they were able to do. But critically, that was only something that folks in big league camp could eat. So until this year, there had not been a minor leaguer in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals that had eaten food at this complex that was cooked on site. And simply put, like, the food is the one thing that literally everybody, and for that matter, us, the polo shirt wearers, we eat that too, right? So, like, it's the one thing you can do that affects everybody in the building. And we all know the importance of nutrition. That's obvious, but now we're actually able to act on it at scale in a way that, you know, these little advantages should add up. If we can do a little bit better by all our minor league players on the way up in terms of what they're putting in their bodies to get ready for the season, hopefully that pays dividends in terms of strength, in terms of speed, in terms of durability. And let's face it, we're all people, right? You feed people well, they tend to have a smile on their face, and everybody's got a little bit of a spring in their step just because of what we have available to us now.
Now let's get down to business here, because you have a roster. I'm got it right in front of me. This is the spring training roster. It's going to start to tighten up a little bit. And yesterday you did make some moves. You optioned Leo Bernal and Jimmy Crooks to AAA. Tell me about that move and how that clarifies what you're doing at catcher.
Yeah, it is that time of camp when we're gonna start getting into some of those tougher decisions. And, you know, some of them obviously have a lot of players here that we're very excited about, and it's just not their time yet. And certainly for Leo, like, he's an example of that, where, you know, we were really excited about his future. Actually, it was interesting because, you know, we knew he'd be away from us when we were making this move. He got a big hit last night in extras for Team Panama. Unfortunately, a guy got hosed at the plate, and they ended up losing that game. It was a pretty exciting ending, but good experience for him. But, you know, we were able to talk to him before he left, just give him a heads up on what was coming. You know, it's just not his time yet, but we're really excited about his future. Obviously, Jimmy has been a big league player and would have confidence going to him just with how it lines up, just with some of the other catching that we have. We felt this was best for him right now. He's going to get a chance to work on some things, play a little bit more than he would have been able to in this camp, as we've got a few other catchers that we're trying to build up. So it gives him a chance to get more focused work, to continue working on the things that he's doing defensively. There's some things offensively that have started to click that we're working with him on, that he'll just get more reps, more exposure down there. And no hesitation. There would be no hesitation on our part. If the right opportunity is there for him, we know he could help us out in the big leagues.
I talked to Ollie about 90 minutes ago and asked him about Herrera, and he said they'd have to look at a few things today. Is there anything updated on Yvonne, who was scratched yesterday?
Yeah, nothing since you guys talked. You know, hopefully it's something that's just a little hiccup. We'll be able to get him back out there soon.
And then, you know, the other thing I note is in this outfield, when I was talking to you about outfield, you brought up Nathan Church's name pretty quickly, that he seems to be having a good camp, still early. He's got that great arm, hit a home run right out of the gate, that he's playing center field today, and that I'm not sure I've seen him in left field at all, right? So he's, at this point, it looks like he's in a center field competition. Am I wrong about that?
No, although, you know, I mean, look, competition's good everywhere. Obviously, we have a lot of confidence in Victor. It's just that one of the things with Churchy is that he's a standout defensive player, both the arm and also his just ability to get to the ball. So he can play center field and he can play it well. So when you have that, obviously you want to be able to use a player there who can do that and lean into that skill set. But obviously there could be opportunity in the outfield and other places too. He has moved around. We have confidence in his ability to do that. He's an interesting player. You know, he didn't hit much in his short stint in the big leagues last year. We believe that there is more in there, and that he's one of those guys that sometimes the first taste of the big leagues, it's hard to slow it down. And that's part of why for him and Jimmy last September, it was cool to be able to introduce them to that so they can understand what it's like, maybe get beat up a little bit, take a breath, figure out what they need to work on. The ability to help us with his glove, with his legs, that's there. So if we can tap into a little bit more with the bat, he could be a really interesting player for us for a long time.
Talk about a guy taking his opportunity and running with it. Joshua Baez gets some at-bats. He blast another one yesterday. I mean, that's one of those guys that, you got to sort of rein it in a little bit, I think, and not get too ahead of ourselves when it comes to Baez's future in the big leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm not telling anybody, including myself, not to be super excited about the upside. We just got to remember where he's at and where he's at in his career. And it's funny, I've been asked a lot of questions since being here, you know, particularly around someone like Jordan about, well, you know, did he get up here too fast? Was it right for him to skip AAA? And hindsight is 20/20, but it's important to remember those things when we're talking about someone like Josh, who, again, the upside is sky high. What he did, we've talked about this, what he did in 2025, you just don't see that. And he deserves a ton of credit for being able to run with a plan and actually make meaningful adjustments. And we've gotten to see it in this camp. He can impact the game in every facet. When he squares one up, boy, he's got some pop. And we know we need that, and we need that both short and long term as part of this core. He's going to have every chance to be a part of that. We just got to make sure we're not selling short that journey and making sure we don't skip steps.
Burley was 3-for-3 yesterday. He looks like he's ready to go. Plays a good first base, too. The other highlight yesterday was Kyle Leahy. Hello. I mean, 4 perfect innings. It is what it is. It's Grapefruit League, but he looks like he's added that nice change. And he's got a little something going here. This rotation competition is going to get very interesting.
Yeah, he was really good yesterday. And facing, you know, the Mets sent some guys, right? It wasn't a lineup of minor leaguers. They sent some of their dudes, not all of them, but they sent some of them to face us. And Kyle just carved them up. He was really, really good. And that was nice to see, because the outing before that was a little more sluggish. And some of that's kind of spring training and kind of working yourself into shape. But I don't mean physical shape. I mean just sharpening the saw for the season. But he had all his stuff working yesterday. He was executing. He held his stuff, you know, through all 4 innings. It was a really, really good outing. I actually thought yesterday, that whole game, I mean, obviously we didn't come out on top, but it was a really kind of a fun game in a lot of ways. You know, obviously starting to see some of the guys we're counting on for our big league club early and doing some cool things. Someone like Baez, who's trying to knock that door down, doing some interesting things. And at the end, some of our young minor leaguers getting an opportunity to get in there, and some hot situations, some learning moments there at the end of that game, facing a really good prospect from the other side. It was just a, a really cool day at the ballpark. A lot of different things. You know, we were talking about it. We had a shortstop at the end of the game. It was an 18-year-old who hasn't played above complex ball. And some cool stuff, got a hit, and also some things on defense that he can now take back to the backfield. And, okay, I can see the speed of the game up there, and I can see some things I have to work on, and let's get back to work and go attack those things. So it was a really cool day.
Yeah, Carson Shipley handed me this today. He said, get going, buddy, on your minor leaguers. We got a whole bunch available today. It's happening. I mean, you got a whole bunch of guys down here all fighting for positions and trying to figure it all out. And I think, you know, when I look at the construction of the team and try to figure this all out, I sense it. I'm going to be here for a couple of weeks, but I can feel the optimism. There is a refreshing sort of feel as to what you might look like. I hear a lot of people talking about expectations for the season. That is palpable. I mean, that's coming through. What is that like on the inside in terms of, again, I'm talking about wins and losses here and record. We all know what the big picture is. What about 2026 specifically for you?
Yeah, I just feel like we shouldn't put a ceiling on what we can do. It's been a cool thing about what we're seeing out of this group. The vibe has been the whole spring training. I mean, look, we've made no secret about what, as you talked about, what we're doing, what the bigger picture looks like. You know, sometimes that message can be sobering. We talked about it when we, you know, I've tried to be very clear because I think that's what the moment demands, and you always try to be as honest as you can with everybody internally and externally, of course, our fans. But, you know, even if we're saying, hey, this is a long-term play and we're going to prioritize that, there should not be a day when we don't come in here trying to compete and win a ballgame. And you can feel that within that clubhouse. I mean, particularly the way, knock on wood, the way the arms have looked this early in camp gives you a lot of optimism for what can be, and feeling like we're going to come into the ballpark every day with a chance to win, where there's nothing that's going to be conceded preemptively. Look, it's a young group. We know that, you know, once the lights turn on, we're going to have some ups and downs. I mean, you have some of those when you've got a veteran group, when you've got a good team, even a team that you expect to be dominant. Those teams can go through rough stretches. So we know that's going to await us in season at some point. We're going to learn from that. Some of these players are going to learn. We're going to learn how they react to adversity. We're going to learn just how strong some of that offseason and spring training planning and preparation was. But, you know, this is a group that I think is going to walk in the building every day expecting to compete and expecting to win. Again, we're young. We know there's going to be some ups and downs. I never like to make those predictions or put a ceiling on what we can do, because to me, like, the whole point of what we're doing, like I said, we are in this for the long haul. But if you start lowering expectations or lowering standards of what's expected from everybody in the building on a given day, whatever they are working on that day, which for our major league staff and players is going to be trying to win a ball game that night, then you're just doing it wrong, I think. And we should try to keep those standards high, battle every day, and see where it takes us.
I'm looking forward to getting after it. I'll have the games the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We just announced that Ollie's going to join us on the Gas House Gang starting on March 31st. So we appreciate his openness and transparency as well as yours. I think these are important moments for us to be able to talk to the fans in this way. So thank you for it.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, look, I appreciate the opportunity to do it. It's you know, just generally, I think it's something that I believe in, but certainly being here and this understanding our fan base more by just interacting with our fans and being around this, like, this is a baseball town, and our fans, not only do they want this from us, they demand it. You're not going to pull the wool over their eyes. And I think this is a place where good baseball conversation is engaged in and appreciated. So we want to be able to provide that, and we want to be able to be as open and transparent with our fans as to not just what we're trying to do, but how we're doing it, so they can hold us accountable to it, so they can contribute to it, so they can get excited about it. And hopefully we'll be able to continue doing that over time.
Thanks for the time. Sorry I kept you a little longer than usual, but
you know, no worries at all. I'm here.
We're here. Thank you.
You bet.
Chaim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with us. We'll take a quick break on KMOX. We'll come back, get you set for Cardinal Baseball. We have a noon pregame. We'll be out of here at 11:55. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Good to hang out with Chaim Bloom here in studio on our Sports on a Sunday Morning program, coming to you from Jupiter, Florida, here in our KMOX room. We have our own studio here. It's terrific, and we really appreciate the accommodations. It is time to talk some baseball with a spring training report, Drew Young.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
And we are looking at Andre Pallante today. Pallante gets the start for the Cardinals. They're going to get going at 12-10 against the Marlins. Pallante, so far, a 3.60 earned run average down in spring training. Now, he was one of those pitchers last year that struggled, and he was one of the pitchers the year before that really shined. He was one of the better pitchers in this rotation, took a step back last year. Ollie Marmol just said an hour or so ago when I was in there, it's almost 2 hours ago when I was listening in, he told Derek Gould in our conversation with the reporters that this is the best version of Andre Pallante that he has seen. I mean, those are some strong words, so we'll see if that does come to fruition today as he's going to go up against the Marlins. In particular, he has an ability to get out lefty hitters that they really like at this point. He can be, I think, equally effective when he's at his best against both. Needs to get himself into a good rhythm. Obviously, the velocity needs to continue to tick up a little bit, and as you get stronger and stronger in spring training, that does tend to happen. If Pallante can get back to being the best Andre Pallante, that should show up here pretty soon. But there is competition for this rotation, without question. And Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne are going to give you the lineup here momentarily, so I won't steal their thunder. But it is a good lineup today. I already talked about with Heim that Nathan Church is in the lineup as a center fielder. I want to see some thunder out of Nelson Velasquez. He's in the lineup today. Got to get some power out of him if you want him to make the team and try to figure out who's going to be the power source on this team. So that's what we're looking at today as the Cardinals take on the Marlins. Pallante on the mound momentarily. The Cardinals are the visitor today, taking on this Miami team that serves as the home team in their home park. Cardinals tomorrow will play here again against the Baltimore Orioles, and Matthew Liberatore is slated to make that start. He's off to a very good start here in spring with a 1.80 ERA, and I'll have that call tomorrow with Mike Claiborne and Stephen Carey. Then Stephen and I will go to Port St. Lucie to see the Cardinals visit the Mets. Always love traveling with Stephen. He's one of the great guys. Love him and his dad, Chip Carey. It's fun to see that father-son duo going right now. And then on Wednesday, we will all be, Claibs will rejoin us, and we'll be in West Palm Beach as the Cardinals take on the Nationals. Let's take a look at our scoreboard in college basketball before we take you to Cardinal baseball. Illinois-Chicago beat Drake yesterday 72-51 to face Northern Iowa in the MVC final, and they have met their match because Ben Jacobson is at it again. He has hit the gas pedal, and the Panthers lead UIC 48-41 at halftime. That is shouldn't be surprising to anybody when it comes to the NCAA tournament and how to get there. Jake, Ben Jacobson, is as good as they get. He's getting some good contributions off the bench right now, and scoring is spread out across this UNI lineup, which is pretty typical of Jake. As for the rest of college basketball, we're keeping an eye on Illinois. They'll be playing at 3 o'clock today at Maryland. The Illini will be a big favorite in that one, and we, of course, expect Illinois to have a very good seed in the NCAA tournament. I think the big question is, where will they play, and will they get a spot in St. Louis hosting the first and second round of the NCAA tournament? Well, you came to the right place because Jerry Palm has his new bracket projection out, and St. Louis does not have Illinois on this side, Iowa State as the 3, Wisconsin as the 6, according to Jerry. But on the other side of the bracket, Illinois is in there as a 2, with Villanova as the 7. So, that would be amazing, wouldn't it, for St. Louis to have Illinois playing here? Man, oh man. Well, not here specifically, because we're in Jupiter, Florida, and the Cardinals are playing here. And when we come back in 5 minutes, we're going to take you to pregame, the Cardinals and the Miami Marlins. Thanks to our producer, Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman from Jupiter. We say so long from Florida.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.